Bless your word today, Lord, as we enter in beginning a new month and new teaching and just a month of anticipation and a month of reaching, a month of expectation in your house for all that you want to do. We completely are convinced that you can redeem 2020. As challenging as it has been, as difficult as these days are, Lord, we want to end this year blessed, strengthened, whole, healed, healthy, and wiser for all we've been through. So, Lord, we give these next few weeks to you and just anticipate miracle that is this season, the special that is this season. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Christmas. Welcome to Christmas. This is a special season. I don't know about you, but I am ready. I am ready for Christmas. I love this time of year, and I don't know, honestly, when I've been looking forward more to a time than I have this one, because I think all of us are just ready for some cheer. We're ready for some joy. We're ready for something else to focus on, something else to give our attention to. And I really, honestly, I want this and desire for this to be a December to remember. What would make this a memorable season? What would make this a December to remember? I think it is one that is marked by the presence of God. We're just going to spend some time in worship over these next couple of weeks. I've talked to our worship team and said, you know what, I'm not worried about time. We'll still get you out and make sure that you're eating lunch at lunchtime. But I'm just not worried about all of that. I want to spend some time in worship, because as challenging as 2020 has been, as difficult as this year has been, I feel a call to worship God and to just set time aside and set agenda aside and just allow God to work. And today I want to talk to you about the gift of legacy. The gift of legacy. What is legacy? That's a word you hear often these days, kind of a trending word, a buzzword. It's certainly not a new word by any means, but I think it is getting its due, if you will. What is legacy? Legacy is the idea that my life lives on after I'm gone. What is legacy? It's where my life lives on after I'm gone. How does that happen? It happens because I'm giving to something that will outlive me. I'm living so that my life outlives me. I'm giving to something that will outlive me, and I'm living so that my life outlives me. Psalm 112, verses 5 and 6 says, "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever." The words "remembered forever," that is actually legacy. How is it that they will be remembered? They're going to be remembered because of something they gave. They're going to be remembered because of something they did. And that is the thing that outlives me. The thing that I give, the thing that I do is what lives beyond my life. That is my legacy. I think about those who are remembered in my world, people who are remembered from my upbringing, people that I think of regularly. My mind goes back to those who came before me. I'm 48 years old. I've been around the church all of my life and have known wonderful and incredible people. You may be new to church life. You may be new to faith life, and so you're meeting those people right now. Don't just think they are older saints across the room or people that you wouldn't have anything in common with. Actually, there is a wealth of knowledge to be gained and learned from them, and I've enjoyed being around people like that all of my life. I traveled for 16 plus years as an evangelist, and oftentimes the older pastors would bring me in, and my friends were saying, man, I don't like to stay at the old pastors' houses, and I stayed at the old pastors' houses and kind of got into their awkward and weird routines. They got up way earlier than I did and ate completely different foods than I did, and you know, they were trying to serve me prune juice after church, and I'm just wanting another Dr. Pepper. You know, I mean, all kinds of quirks and oddities that made it a bit entertaining, but I loved always getting them on the subject of church and heritage and legacy and what they were leaving behind. Those people who came before me, they were the grandparent types. I am a second generation a churchgoer or faith person. My grandparents did not attend church. My mother and my father, you hear me refer to my stepfather, who's been in my life now for 30 plus years, but my father, who died when I was about 16 years of age, my mother and father, someone witnessed to them when they were just 18 years old. My mother had just graduated from high school. They walked into a department store. They graduated from high school and they got married. They walked into a department store. She was looking to buy a bathing suit for a party that they were going to, a get-together that they were going to. And while they're in there shopping, a man named James Renfro approached them. He was a faith man. He was a church-going man. He was a powerful, spirit-filled believer. But he walked up to my father and he said, "Do you have a job?" It's a long, long story. My father quit school in the eighth grade because his father was killed by his uncle in a living room fight. And so my father, being the oldest of the siblings and the now breadwinner of the house, went to work in the eighth grade and just worked odd and end jobs. And he walks into this department store, which was known as one of the nicest department stores. I don't know why they were there that day to look for a bathing suit when neither of them had jobs. But there they were in that department store. And James Renfro walks up to my father and says, "Do you have a job?" And my dad says, "No, I do not have a job." He said, "God just spoke to me to give you a job." My father knew nothing about God. My mother had no history. They had never gone to church, had no faith people in their life. This was completely foreign to them, and yet something connected. And before it was all said and done, my father was the store manager over two of those prestigious department stores in the city of Houston. Simply because God spoke to someone, that's legacy. That's legacy. And so my parents came into the church, and then, of course, my brother, sister, and I'm the youngest of three, were raised in the church. And now my children, who are my offspring, would be the third generation of believers in our family. So when I say grandparent types, my grandmother never attended church a day in her life until we planted the church in Texas. That's when she started going to church. Well into her 70s, I had the privilege of baptizing her and leading her to Jesus. She had no history of church in her life. So when I reference grandparent types, those are people that I've met in churches. Those are people that I've gotten to know in churches. Those are faith grandparents that I've had in my life. And then there are just church leaders and Sunday school teachers and youth pastors and special people that I have gotten to know through the years. I actually attended two funerals this past week. One was in person, and one I had to attend online, but both of them were older people. One was my good friend, Pastor Miles Rutherford, his father, who I met one time, but I did not know him. But of course, my relationship with Pastor Miles, they lost him early last week due to COVID-19. And I went to support my friend at his father's funeral, but I was amazed to hear the story of Lee Rutherford. I was amazed to hear the story and to hear about the legacy that he was leaving behind. And then another funeral that I attended online yesterday was a man that I got to know through the years, a church that I preached probably more revivals at than any other church in my many years of traveling, a wonderful and awesome church in Mississippi, Woodlawn Church. But there was a man there named Tommy Wallace. He was 87 years of age. He also died on Thursday morning. But both of these men, significant that I was preaching what I was preaching today and talking about this idea of legacy, and to be able to attend both of their future funerals and hear in great detail about their life stories. These were men of legacy. At the Lee Rutherford funeral, I couldn't believe how many videos, how many letters, how many pastors, how many people that said, this man, he built our church building, or he paid off our church building. This man bought us a home. The other funeral yesterday, another just incredible and miraculous story of giving and giving. Both of these men born into abject poverty. Both of these men born in very dire circumstances, but somehow they caught a hold of God's plan and the power of God, and how God wanted to use them and the way that God wanted to work through them. That is our heritage. People who have been willing to make sure that there is a church beyond their life and beyond their years, making sure that there is something that is established for the next generation. And many of those people are no longer here. They've gone on to their reward, but hear me, their lives impacted mine. Their lives have impacted yours, whether you realize it or not. And in that way, because of the impact that they made, they live through us still. So when I get frustrated, when I get particularly tired, when stuff starts getting on my nerves, I start to think about them. I think about their sacrifices. I think about their generosity. I think about their faithfulness to God, because it changed my life. And because of people like that, it causes at least two things to rise up in me. One of the things that rises up in me is gratitude. I'm grateful for them. I recognize that my life is better because they lived the way they did. I'm grateful that they prioritized generosity because I benefited from it. I'm grateful that they prioritized serving because I benefited from it. I'm grateful that they taught me to love Jesus and to love His house because I am better for it. Grateful for that generation. It also causes a fortitude to rise up in me. Gratitude and definitely fortitude. Because seeing the way they lived inspires me to live out God's call on my life. I want to do for the next generation what they did for me. I'm preaching an old-fashioned message today, and I already there's people scratching their head like, what does this mean? Stay with me for just a moment, because I'm teaching you how the church got here. I want you to understand why there's buildings for us to worship in, and why there are opportunities like the ones we have setting before us. Because contrary to what this current generation thinks or believes, things do not just happen. There is no genie in the bottle that someone rubbed and spoke to very sweetly, and all of these things just appeared overnight. It's because there was someone who made sure that it would be here for you to enjoy and to be blessed by. That is legacy. And right now, I'm not thinking about dying. I'm not making plans to die. None of that. But I'm already thinking about what is going to live beyond me. What is my legacy? That's where this fortitude comes from. Seeing the way these people lived inspires me to live out God's call in my life. And the fact that I want to do for the next generation what they so generously did for me. You see, I get more resolved to live a life that will leave the world better once I'm gone. I don't want to be selfish and say, well, listen, when I'm dead and gone, you get what you get. It's just whatever. I want to live in such a way that I know I'm leaving the world better. I'm leaving my community better because I lived in that community. And when I'm gone, my life will live on through the next generation. And what they've done for me, all of it will continue to go on and on and on because of what you and I do here together. That is legacy. It's not just financial things. Of course, that's a part of it, and I'm going to talk to you about some of that here today, but I also want to make sure that there is a legacy of power, a legacy of miracles, a legacy of God's grace and God's provision. Jason, Stephanie Stonick, would you guys mind standing just right where you are? This past Sunday, they've been walking a journey with their son, Judah, who is very young, but getting kidney stones and not able to pass them. And so they've tried all kinds of remedies and methods and all kinds of things, trying to do anything but do surgery on his little body. Judah's up in church kids today having a blast. I can hear them back behind me. But this past Sunday, they were at church, and when we opened the altar for people wanting special prayer, wanting a miracle, I look over, and Jason and Stephanie have brought little Judah down. Little Judah, he's sweet as he can be, as tender as he can be. He doesn't know how to go into the presence of God yet. He doesn't understand, man, if I lift my hands as high as I can, or if I stomp my foot really hard, he may know how to do that to get more Oreos, but he doesn't know how to do that to get a miracle in his life yet. So he's just standing there sweetly and calmly, but mom and dad are behind him with hands on shoulders and rubbing heads, and they've got tears streaming down their cheeks, and they're praying, and I go and pray. Pastor Brian prays, and people that love them praise, and they go on Wednesday for an 11 o'clock surgery, and they take him back about 1 o'clock, and suddenly the doctor comes back and says, we can't find any kidney stones. This doesn't make sense. I don't know what's happening, but we can't find any kidney stones. They want to do more x-rays and more tests. And meanwhile, mom and dad over here saying, we know, we have the answer. Why? Because we are making sure there is a legacy of faith. There is a legacy of power. There is a legacy of the supernatural. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Listen, I don't want to just have a community church where people come by the hundreds and we love one another and we celebrate the accomplishments in one another's lives. I want this to be a house where people can be delivered and people can be set free and people can be healed and people can be helped. I want to make sure there's a legacy of power in this place. But in order for that to happen, we have to invest in those things. If you want power, you have to invest prayer. If you want glory, you have to invest guts. There's no other way around it. One of the ways, let me just talk to you about one of the ways that we establish legacy in this house is through church Christmas. I told you last Sunday that I really was on the fence until the Lord just really slapped me around about this, because I'm taking into account the kind of year we've had, the kind of year we are having, all of the distractions, all of the incredible concerns and difficulties that we are facing. But last year was our first church Christmas, and I said then, we have every intention of doing this every year until 2020 comes and we have pandemic problems. And it made me question for a minute whether or not we should just punt this year and just wait until next year. But the reality is, I don't know what's going to be happening next year, and neither do you. And I just feel arrested that we need to keep doing right things, and we need to continue to be faithful to the things that we know we should be faithful to. Why? Because legacy does not take a year off. Legacy does not take a break. Someone has to be working it. Someone has to be preparing for it. And so the idea for people that are new to the church that didn't hear all of this last week, let me just talk to you about financial things for just a moment. And I know we don't like that, but let me be a good pastor and teach for just a few moments. But here's the idea. The idea is that we will not do special offerings throughout the year. I'm not against that. But I want to establish as the culture in this house that we are faithful to God. We're faithful in our tithe and our offering. We're faithful in our generosity. We make sure that our greed index is very low here at the church. It may be raging higher than ever out in the world. People may be scared to invest and scared to be generous, but here at the church, we have proven that God blesses and that God makes a way and that God provides. So our greed index is very low, and we're faithful to God throughout the year, and then come together one time a year in an effort, a collective effort at the end of every year to do something awesome that makes a difference for our church. To dig deep and to give generously towards specific goals that will help move our church forward. It's interesting and really amazing to me when I think about church Christmas last year, because what we did last year became a miracle this year. Last year, our first time to do church Christmas, we shattered the giving record here at the church, Covington. That means we gave more in one single offering than had ever been given in any offering in the history of this church. That's how much you rallied and got behind and said, I want to be a part of the vision and be a part of the miracle that is church Christmas. So we had the largest one-time giving ever. And the vision last year was an update to our lobby and entrance, and man, it turned out beautiful. I love it. I love to walk through there on a daily basis and just stop and love to have meetings and love to have phone conversations and love to sit out there. I've been to small groups in our lobby. It's beautiful. And then there were technology upgrades that we wanted to do, screens and church kids and things like that that were very important. We cast vision for that, and you gave and you got behind it. But here's the truth. I never could have imagined all that would happen this year. I never could have imagined last year what would have happened this year. And our goal was to complete our construction, to complete our lobby remodel by Easter. March came, And we literally shut the church down for in-person worship for 10 weeks. No in-person services. And I was nervous, very, very nervous, and with good cause. But hear me, the cash that was given at church Christmas put us in a much better position. Because while we paused briefly on the building, while we paused briefly for in-person services, we completed the project in time to reopen in May. And I realize there's people worshiping online that you have been on your own personal lockdown and you haven't even seen yet what you've given to. We need to take video cameras through and do a social media live so that you can see it. And right now it's decorated for Christmas and it's so beautiful. But we never could have imagined what was going to happen. But hear me, we were also ready to help people. Because there were people who lost jobs and people who were displaced because of the pandemic. And all because our missions account was funded and because you all remained faithful throughout tough times, because you gave last year and because you've been faithful this year, we didn't get too preoccupied with worrying about bills, and we were able to be generous to our community. And as a result, we've been able to give more and serve more and move the church forward more than we ever have been before, because you gave. You ought to give yourselves a hand, because it's a fantastic thing. We moved the church forward with broadcast, online streaming. We were not streaming prior to this. We're live online right now. Hello to everyone at home. God bless you. We were not online. We had it in our long-range plans to be online by the end of 2020, but even that looked a little bit challenging because we had so much equipment to get and so many hurdles and so many things that we wanted to do before we launched that effort. But another part of our church Christmas was our screens. Y'all know I love these HD screens up here and projectors that run those. And you got behind that and got excited about that. Believe it or not, that's not just a caption being thrown on the wall. That's thousands and thousands of dollars that it takes to produce that and to make all of that happen in a room this size. But we were excited to move the church forward with broadcast. We didn't know what was coming, but God knew what was coming, and we spent several thousand dollars in broadcast equipment to get us online for the first time. Not because we wanted new toys. It wasn't about getting new toys. We were borrowing and stealing. We didn't steal anything, thank the Lord, but you know the old phrase, we were borrowing and it was amazing because the ways that we were getting online, and then little by little we were able to get the equipment that we needed, and we're still needing more equipment, and we have a dream list and things that we know we want to do. We want our sound to be better online. In order to do that, we really have to create a whole nother sound room outside of the auditorium and people to staff that so that sound, what goes out online, is different and unique to what's happening in this room, and it's optimized and perfect for what they're hearing online. But all of that is on the wish list, and all of that is on the dream list. We never could have imagined what was coming in 2020, but because we came together for church Christmas, we wanted to provide the best online experience that we possibly could. And it honestly was our lifeline. And because we were ready, because you had given, because you were faithful, we were able to upgrade our equipment. We were able to do what we needed to do to reach our community and our church family and beyond. And there are people, literally people sitting in this room today, right now, that are here because they started watching us online. If they hadn't seen us online, they may never have stopped in. But because they were able to window shop, because they were able to worship with us online, now they said, man, I got to go find out what that's all about in person. I've got to go.
But because people gave, if you could just tune this a little bit, get a little more bass and not quite singer setting, that we were able to reach our church family, able to reach our church family that is worshiping at home today and beyond. So here's what we're focusing on this year. Our goal is not a dollar amount. I said that last year. It wasn't a dollar amount. It wasn't a specific number that we were trying to reach. But the goal was 100% participation. It was everyone getting involved. And if everyone will get involved, if everyone will take part, if everyone will invest something, then guess what? Whatever it is that we give will be enough to do what it is that God has called us to do. So the goal is not a specific amount. Sure, there are targets and there are men. If this number, this would be fantastic. But for this pastor's heart, 100% participation would be the goal. Everyone getting involved. Everyone getting behind the vision. So on December 20th, just a few weeks from now, I understand we started preparing well before and weeks before, and you've not had as much of an on-ramp to prepare, and I understand that. Again, I'm not trying to break last year's record. I'm not trying to shatter that ceiling. Let's just do what we can on December the 20th. Why? Because it's good to give. And we want to remain faithful throughout the year. Because I hope you know that 10% of what you give, it goes to missions. We give a percentage of everything that comes in. We give it to missions. We bless local missions and national missions and missions around the world. We give. We do that throughout the year. But this one time a year, we give Christmas to our church. And so there's a couple of areas. It's church kids technology. Admittedly, when we were shut down and all of that hit, we used some of the money that was given to church kids technology. We did a couple of things, but we used some of that money that was set aside for church kids technology on broadcast needs to get us online immediately. It was still used for technology, but we had to redirect from church kids that was going to be shut down for the next several months, and we use that to get online. So now we circle back and we still need church kids technology, need to make some upgrades, need to do some things to make it easier for our kids to be taught and to be blessed and to be helped and for the difference to be made in their life. And then I'm excited about our restroom refresh. What is that? It's the upgrades that's happened in our lobby. It's the changes, the paint, the good, the beauty that's happened in our lobby, taking that into our restrooms, taking that into our cafe so that our building begins to match and it begins to be seamless. And ultimately, let me just start casting vision. I'm not trying to do it this year in church Christmas unless God really, really moves on some hearts. But eventually we want to repaint our auditorium and do some carpet work. We have carpet that's coming up and things that are happening. The reality is this is 20 years old. It's 20-year-old paint on the walls, and it's just time to refresh and time to update and paint in a room like this. How tall are these ceilings? Somebody that knows how tall? 25 feet? I say it's more than that. 25 feet? 35 feet. All right, they're tall. Walls are tall. I was in a church the other day, and this guy said, man, we had to repaint. He said, these ceilings are 15 feet tall. I said, well, ours are about, 40 feet, so Lord, forgive me if I was evangelistic. But we got a lot of paint in these walls, but I thank God because God has put painters in our church and men that have paint businesses, and they help us, and and they make sure that we get it at the best price, and they make sure that we get the labor cost just as competitive as possible. But that's the long-range plan, so that everything matches and everything is seamless, and we'll get there eventually. Eventually we'll get there, and it will be so fantastic. But I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me, because when you give to Church Christmas, you're building the kingdom of God. And I'm going to hurry with what I have left today. I just need a few more moments. Because when you keep the local church strong, you're making ministry happen. You're living a legacy life. You may be saying, how does that happen? How do I do that? Because right now I'm just existing. Right now, I'm just doing my best to get from week to week, and some of you are not even week to week, you're day to day. How do I start moving up, getting from day to day, to week, to month, to year to year? How do I begin graduating? First of all, if you're day to day or week to week, do not feel shame. Do not feel embarrassment. Please come to this church. This church is not full of rich people. This church is just people getting along, people just making it happen, people just making their wage and doing what they can. I'm going to tell you the difference from one person to the next in these next couple of points. When we ask the question, how do we live a legacy life? Number one, it takes faith. That's where it begins. If you're going to live a legacy life, it takes faith. Faith, and literally faith connects the dots. You've got to use your holy imagination, but hear me. What we gave last year was a miracle this year. Some child that we served this year will grow up and follow Jesus because the church that loved them when their family was struggling made a difference in their life. Do you know that we have fed over 200 families in the last 3 or 4 weeks? Our church has fed, provided food. We've given so much that some of the families are saying, listen, our cupboards are still full. Our freezer and refrigerator is full. We're going to take a break and bless somebody else. We've fed so many people the last few weeks, making a difference in someone's life. I think about little Judah, who at some point, he don't even have a girlfriend yet, but at some point, he's going to be married with kids of his own. And one of his children someday is going to say, I don't feel good. And Judah's going to say, let me tell you a story. I had to walk to church in the snow, uphill both ways. But I had kidney stones that the doctors did not know how to solve. And God healed my body. Legacy. Some sweet family that's come on our campus to pick up food in the last few weeks. Somebody's going to get down the road. Someone's going to get down the road of a life a year or two from now, and they're going to say, hey, whoa, man, do you remember when we were going through that tough time? And that church helped us. Do you remember? Let's go and give back. Let's go and be a blessing. Let's go and be faithful. Let's go and serve. Let's go and be a part. Because it takes faith to see how all of that is happening. Just a few weeks ago, right after our one child sponsorship Sunday, October the 25th, I think that was, and we took on a few dozen kids here at the church. Just in the next week or 10 days, hurricanes began to wreck Honduras. And I got text messages from members that said, hey, what's going on in Honduras? What's happening? Do you know? Have you heard an update? I'm trying to find out. And they said, well, I got youngins there now. I loved that. I'm invested there now. I've got people that I care about there now. I want to know what's going on, because part of my legacy now is in Honduras. And it's not just writing a check and it being out of my mind and someone else's problem. No, it's my burden to carry, because I want them to be as blessed as I am. Is anybody hearing the word today? It takes faith. Ephesians Chapter 2, 19. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. That is your address, the kingdom of faith. Daryl Hooper, Covington, Georgia, United States of America, of faith. So my home address is, my home country is faith. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all parts together. And then he said, we see it. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple which God is quite at home. You and I, that's where we live. You and I are a brick, a stone, a part of this house that God is building. It takes faith to see that, because right now the enemy is being successful at making you feel insignificant. The enemy is making you feel like yours is too small and you don't have anything to offer and you do not have anything to give. I rebuke the enemy that says you have nothing. You have everything. You have everything to give. If it's your praise, you are so wealthy. You are so blessed. Give that in spite of all of the enemy's discouragement and lies, because you are helping to build this house, and it takes faith to connect those dots. Number two, it takes sacrifice. It takes faith, and yes, it takes sacrifice. I told you it's an old-fashioned message. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you're going to build something, it absolutely will require sacrifice. Because hear me, every young couple, hear me, every student, hear me, everyone. Too young to start dyeing your hair. If you're going to build anything great, it's going to require sacrifice. Because there's no easy way to build something great. It takes sacrifice, and we choose to make the sacrifice. I told you about two funerals. One of the funerals was a man whose parents, I guess, died early, but he was in charge of the siblings, and there he was working three jobs to put food on the table for his brothers and sisters. All of them, either speaking at the funeral or by way of video, were saying, if it had not been for Lee, if it hadn't been for Lee, we would not be here. We would have died. But Lee worked three jobs. He made sure that we had something to eat. He made sure that we got our schoolwork done. Lord, the idea, God bless my kids, of taking care of one another. If something were to happen to Kristen and I don't think the dogs would ever get fed. There'd be no water in the bowl. It's not for mom and dad there to make sure that it gets done. And I've got great kids. But hear me, everyone in this room. If we're going to build anything, it's the same spiritually. If we're going to build a great church. And that man Lee, he started building. He got into radio and ultimately owned a radio station. And just on and on and on. Began to build until it was a communications giant, massive company that blessed his life and his family and many, many other people. I heard the story at the funeral yesterday of Tommy Wallace. They needed to build a church because they were completely packed out. And all of his money was invested. He was building a business and good things were happening. But years before, he had bought a dream piece of property to where he wanted to build his dream home. Got it at a good price, but I can't afford to build yet. I can't afford to develop it. I can't afford to do anything with it. But here he was. The church needed a new building, and they didn't have the means. They didn't have the ability to do it. And so he took what he had. He took that dream piece of property, and he called the wealthiest man in town, and he said, "Sir, you need this piece of property." The man really didn't need the piece of property, but he said, "You need this piece of property, and this is the price that I need you to buy the property at." And so the man said, "You're right, I really don't need the property, but I know it's the best piece of property in town, and so I need to buy it just so that someone else doesn't get it." And so he bought that piece of property at that price. And that man who had that piece of property reserved for his dream home and for his family's legacy and to be passed down from generation to generation, that man took the proceeds of that land sale and turned around and built a new building. Took his dream and said, no, I'm not worried about that. The house of God is more important. And he built a new building. The reality is they outgrew that building as well. I was there in revival when they walked up on a Sunday night and handed the pastor a check for $3 million and something. That was what they owed on their current facility that they're in right now. And handed another check for $3 million. Listen, we only owe 1.6 here. If anybody's got that check, it's not even that high three number. We just 1.6 would take care of it. That'd make y'all so uncomfortable. Listen, my God can do it. But until then, you and I got to keep rolling our pennies, given what we have. Oh, I'm not going to give. I'm going to wait for that one check to walk in. No, that's not the way it works. We stay faithful in the little things. We're faithful to the note every month until good God gets ready to take care of it however he wants to take care of it. But listen to the miracle. He gives the money from his dream piece of property so that the church can be built. Then that man that bought his dream piece of property gets to the end of his life. Calls Mr. Tommy and said, "You sold me this piece of property years ago. I didn't need it. And I'm about to die. And I don't want it. So I want you to have this property back." I've been to his dream home on that property. It's unbelievable. It'll be in his house, in his legacy for generations, his family. It's awesome what God does, but it doesn't happen without sacrifice. Hear me, if we're going to have anything as a church, if we're going to be anything as a people, it's going to require sacrifice. It is the lost message of the modern church. I'm not getting on to you. I don't preach it enough. I don't live it enough. It is the lost message of the modern church that thinks all of this is going to happen. It's just going to happen. It's not going to happen without sacrifice. And so we choose sacrifice. Number three, it takes generosity. It takes faith. It takes sacrifice. It takes generosity. Psalm 112:9, I read it earlier. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. It takes generosity. So let me challenge you today. Make God first in your life. Don't make him an end of the month option. Don't wait. Don't make God a well. When all other bills are paid, then I'm going to see what's left over. Hear me. The devil will make sure there's never anything left over. That's why you got to put God first. You got to bring first fruits and say, you know what, Lord? Here it is. Here's the check. Here's the pay. I'm going to put you first. Yes, I've got bills stacked. I've got all kind of places for this to go, but I'm going to find out what living on 90% is all about. Because 90% blessed of God is more than 100% blessed by me. Woo, I'm preaching good. It takes generosity. It takes generosity. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for continuing to be generous. Thank you online for being generous, being faithful. Let's close out the year strong. Let's keep pushing our way forward. Let's keep moving the church forward. They told me last week in the office, because they like to encourage me, Pastor, to date, tithe and offering, from this time last year, we are up. Those are very strange words in 2020. We are up tithe and offering $2,800 over where we were last year. That's a miracle, because my phone rings nearly every day with pastors saying we're down 30%, 40%, 50% in our giving. Now, let me qualify that. Tithe and offering, thank you for being faithful. We're down in every other capacity and way. What normally comes in for rental income, movie industry rents, our parking lots and weddings and things like that, none of that's been happening. So we use all of that to help function and operate. And we're down in all of those ways. But I thank God that we're being faithful and we're giving. And God is helping us. God is helping us. I want to close this year strong and see God do some great things. Because legacy, I genuinely, my heart, I want to get this building paid for. I don't want to go through another pandemic staring at a mortgage note. So we just have to start chipping away little by little by little, day by day, month by month, doing what we can to make a difference and to see it turn, but it takes generosity. And number four, I close. It takes faith. It takes sacrifice. It takes generosity. And number four, it takes urgency. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Notice verse 16, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Here's the truth. We don't have unlimited time, and we don't have unlimited opportunities. But we have an opportunity today. We don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited opportunities, but we have an opportunity today. What will we do with that opportunity? I say we make the most of it. And we do it with urgency. So this season, between now and December 20th, I'm not asking for you to sacrifice Christmas for your kids. Don't do that. But what if you sit down with your family and say, you know what? What if all of us give something? We had four gifts set aside for you and four gifts for you and four. What if all of us give up half a gift and we give the church? God, I don't know, get creative. What could God do with our sacrifice and our generosity. If you need a few weeks to figure it out, if you want to give it today, you can give it. If you want a few weeks to figure it out, do that. If you need time to save up, save up. But do that with urgency. Here's where I close today. This thought. I will live today as if this is the day that will be remembered forever. Leave that up for just a moment. I will live today as if this is the day. If you're online, you ought to take a picture of that. If you're in the room, take a picture of that screen. Put it somewhere. Paste it somewhere. Make it a screensaver. During this season, I'm going to live today as if this is the day that will be remembered forever. What does God want to do through you that will become your legacy? Father, I pray today for hearts and hands in this house, people giving is not so much an exciting subject, man. Legacy, the idea that something I do today will be remembered tomorrow, something that I give today will outlive me. And it will make the difference for another generation. CY gets together tonight. Students, middle school, high school. A few dozen of them. They don't have jobs yet. They don't. There's some serving around the building today, but they're still trying to figure out life. They don't even realize what's being invested for them. But I pray that everyone catches this vision. Vision of sacrifice in order to build your name and establish your church in this community. There are challenges, many. This church has seen its share. But somehow we've survived each of them because your purpose is greater. Your cause is greater. And your name deserves people that will outlast the tough time. I pray for people today, Lord, that need to see themselves as an offering. Their heart, their life, their mind. Paul said, I present my body as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable. But there may be someone in this room today saying, I'm not holy at all. I'm full of sin and struggle. But I give myself, I present myself . My wrapping paper's a little smudged and it's got a lot of life on it, but I present myself. And if Jesus will accept me, here's the beauty today, sir, ma'am. The Holy Spirit wants to do a rewrap in your life. You may come in full of sin, shame, sadness. But he'll rewrap you. He'll rewrap. Because it's your breath in my lungs. We pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I give you me. I present myself. I ask you to rewrap me in your righteousness. Rewrap me in your glory. Rewrap me in your presence. Let my life bless you. The greatest gift I could receive in this 2020 Christmas season is to be saved and set free and delivered. If you're online, pray it with me. Say, Jesus, rewrap me, save me, forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Can we give Jesus some praise for what he's doing? It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour.